Numerology is a system of ancient codes found in our birth information that gives insight to the lessons we each must learn in this lifetime. Elizabeth Summers is a medium and esoteric numerologer offering her knowledge of ancient wisdoms to help fellow travelers towards a more enlightened and peaceful path. Join her now for the magical world of numbers.
Hi, this is Niles McClower for the new show, Why Life Is, right here on Friday nights at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Now on BBS Radio, Why Life Is answers a vast number of questions and explores...
Born to fly, we were born to fly. So was I. But when you live in a world that tells you that you can't, and when you live in a world that says you must be something other than what you are, in a world that forgets, born to fly, we were born to fly, we were born to fly,
beautiful song. Aloha, I am your host, May Leilani, and this is the Universal Spiritual Connection Show. Mahalo to all the listeners of BBSRadio.com. And I want to say mahalo to all the listeners of Pal Talk. I have really grown very fond of each and every one of you, as I have with all my listeners that tune in weekly every Tuesday nights with me. And it's always such an honor and such an incredible pleasure and delight to be with each and every one of you. So thank you, and I honor each of you with empowerment and enlightenment to empower yourselves in your own personal journey. On that note, our call-in numbers are toll-free for the USA. The number is 877-270-8714. Canada, 888-861-3519, and our direct lines are same area code, and those are 876-9026, 876-3223, or 413-4515. Now, my next guest, is very personal for me as an individual. And I do know that each and every one of you, by the time this show is done, will feel passionately just as I am. Now, we all know that we are going through tremendous shifts. We're also experiencing a lot of emotional, mental, spiritual, and physical cleansing. And I will say, this could not have come at a more perfect time than our next guest. So if you will please permit, let me share some background information about our wonderful guest that we have with all of us this evening. Now, she has written a really powerful book, and it's called, well, the title is Stepping Off of the Edge, Learning and Living Spiritually Practice. Now, our guest's name is Sandy Nathan, and she is indeed a professional that has worked in many, many areas, not only in the corporate world, but on a spiritual level as well. Now, you will find that Sandy worked as a professional with a project economist for two studies in Silicon Valley. I apologize, Sandy. She also worked as an economist for the Joint Cities County Housing Element Program of Santa Clara County. She was also a project economist for the Santa Clara County staff of the Service Pricing Urban Development Project, a joint project of the RAND Corporation and the Santa Clara County Planning Department. Whoa, girl, were you ever very much involved? Holy!
Well, it was so you know?
Yeah, but let me tell you, I know this is going to take you beyond your own imagination. And let me, if you will all permit, let me continue because it's important for you to understand the whole spectrum of who Sandy is. She not only served as an economics analyst for the County of Santa Clara, she has a bachelor and a master's degree in economics, and was a PhD student at the Stanford University's Graduate School of Business. Not only does she hold these, she also additionally holds a master's degree in marriage, family, and child counseling from Santa Clara University. Aside from using it everywhere in her own personal life, Sandy is a blazing new talent. I am a blazing old talent. I am a mother, a grandmother, and someone who's had several professional careers. My first published writing was in economics. Unless you're into cost revenue analysts, you probably haven't heard of it. I've been around for a long time, Sandy states, and have had experiences from the everyday professional, personal, and family realm to the inner world of deep meditation, and I love them both. So without further delay, wow, our room is packed tonight. Welcome, everybody. It's such an honor to see all of you. And I did stumble on a few things, Sandy, so I do ask that you will forgive me on that. But please, let's all give Sandy a warm welcome to the show. Welcome, Sandy.
Well, thank you very much. That was really sweet. I think a lot of people stumble on economics. I sure know I did. I chose it at my dad was killed in the middle of my freshman year at Santa Clara University back in the 60s. And I had to have a major, so I picked something that I thought he would approve of. And so I chose economics, not having ever taken any of it. And it took me through to the PhD level before I realized that.
Well, now, you know what? I believe you're very smart to go into that field. You know, that has always been a passion of mine.
Yeah, yeah. I love it after all, but it's just I'm not very good at it. I mean, I'm good enough at it, but I wasn't good enough compared to the folks at Stanford that were getting their PhDs, the guys and gals and so on. You know, I mean, it was like I could see I didn't have it.
Well, you know, I have to say to Sandy is let me give this information to all our listeners because I'm really excited about diving into this book. You know, if you tried to take the book away from you, you're going to have a fight on you because I know myself, I've had a lot of emotional imbalances going on. I know that I'm shifting. I know that all my emotional mental bodies are also doing a lot of, you know, catching up and releasing and so forth. And that's why I've been excited about this particular book that has come my way. And what I found very intriguing with you is that I like what you have to say here because you say this with your own personal thoughts. You help for you're helping the reader to ask the important questions. Do I like my life? Do I like the way I'm living? And not only do you do that, but you guide without the preaching. You lead all of us without the pushing, and does it all with a sense of humor as you share your own life experiences. And that's very refreshing to me, because I know every one of the listeners this evening that are actually listening to this show tonight, that has been one of the major situations that I know I've had for myself, is feeling guilty or not feeling safe enough to really allow myself to really tap into that inner voice that you so elegantly share with all of us.
Well, I hope that I'm glad that my work has done its job, and that makes me feel very good, you know. And actually, it was the voice, capital V, you know, that made the book. The book wouldn't exist without that. I had no intention of writing that book. I mean, it was the pushiest little thing you've ever seen. I had been working on a series of novels since 1995. That's a long time. And when was this written? This was like 2003, this book. I started to write this book. So I've been working on these novels and polishing them up, and I thought they were my life's work and blah, 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 blah. And then I went to this retreat. It's a Cherokee National. It's in the Cherokee National Forest, and it's a Native American spiritual retreat. And I went to this retreat, and I was just knocked over. And so that was the start of the book, and it actually appears in the back of the book. But I could not write anything until I wrote this book. It was like, to me, I mean, it's kind of annoying sometimes, but actually I'm very happy. It's like this voice or this hand just takes me and says, now we're going to do this, you know, for about 3 years.
But I will say, Sandy, you know, I have to say to you, you know, I've gone through this book, and, you know, I don't need to tell anybody all the major shifts we're going through, and we're going to do a whole lot more before this is all said and done. And what I really like about this is, I mean, you hit the nail right on its head. I mean, and you go into areas of discussion with a reader about your own experiences to where it's so incredibly powerful and so easy to understand and apply that you get excited about working with what you're sharing here. There's a am I making sense?
Yeah, no,
I really feel
kind of clear. Yeah, it's really good, you know, because I spent about 3 years working more than full time on that book, and it looks like it's come out the way I want it to, you know. That's I had all that schooling, and I've been among people that are so pretentious, either because of their wealth from Silicon Valley or elsewhere, or because of all the schooling they have or how smart they are, and I just do not like it. I do not like it at all, you know. I want something that's simple, that anybody can understand, and that's what I was trying to produce.
Now, you've just had a wonderful surprise presented to you, and before we get really into sharing a lot about the powerful information you have, would you like to share with all of us this evening your great news?
Ooh, it's so exciting. Yeah, and I just got it yesterday. Stepping has now won 5 national awards. So that was a shock, let me tell you. I found out yesterday. I'm a finalist in all of these things, and it's like it's like the Academy Awards. If you get nominated, it still counts as an award. So that's what I am. It's a finalist in the Benjamin Franklin Awards for New Age Spirituality. I got a bronze medal in the IPPI Awards for self-help. And in the Indie Excellence Awards, I was a finalist in 3 categories. I was like, thank you, God. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Good for you, Sandy. Good for you. I mean, as I did my research on your website, and believe me, when I do research, I really explore your website and find out all the different things that it, you know, my guest is, you know, involved with, and then, you know, going through your books and whatever else you may have. And I have to say you've done an excellent job. And what I appreciate about you the most is that you're real. You're very real.
Thank you.
You're just like the, you know, a person walking down the street could really make a connection with you and relate with you on a very human level. And this is what you have done with this book.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to do with it, you know. And part of it is being a can. I mean, it's just all of it. The main thing, if I was going to summarize my book in one sentence, it would be, your life is your spiritual path. It's very simple. It's just the life that you're living is your spiritual path. And where it takes you is where you will choose to have it take you, you know. So all the things like being an economist and going and studying counseling and everything that I've done, and then the not-so-nice things, like I'm a breast cancer survivor. I had my knee replaced. I've got chronic fatigue syndrome. I have a bunch of stuff, you know. It just is like that old Zen grinding stone where, you know, as you get older and the water keeps going over the rocks, it just smooths them down. So that what I want to
yes.
show is real plain, you know, just real plain.
Yes, but that's, and you know, that's where I made that real heart-to-heart connection with you is
mm-hmm.
because you definitely have experienced a lot of things that most of us experience. So when you speak about a particular area or subject or share your wisdom and knowledge, I mean, you're firsthand tapping into that actual walk of experience that you've had. And
mm-hmm.
and that's
yeah.
what's really refreshing for me.
Yeah, thanks. It's really nice. You know, the fad these days, I think a lot of the major publishers are just signing up kids that are in their 20s, you know. It's like the supermodel look, and then you can write something. And I really believe that, you know, I could not have wrote this book, something like that. You know, if I'd been in my 20s, I would have written a different book. It would not have been the same. And so it takes
uh-huh.
a long time to write something like this. And not so
much. So,
in writing, but as in maturing.
Yes. If I may share with our listeners this evening, because I've got quite a bit of different areas bookmarked in the book that I have, and I'm looking one particular area that I really wanted to bring forward first. I've got so many marked. I mean, the whole book is just jam-packed with some very important, incredible information here, and let me see if everybody will just bear with me for just a moment. I really want to bring this forward to everybody this evening, but as I'm looking for this, let me go ahead and have you share with us, if you would, the catalyst in your own life that really inspired you to sit down and write this book.
Oh, that's a great question. Again, your life is your spiritual path. And so here I was working on these series of novels. Well, let me tell you how I got the novels. That was a trip. 1993 to 1995 was a very difficult period for me. I mean, it was like a cataclysmic period for me. It was very difficult, and I had to do some very hard healing from some very difficult things. And by 1995, you know, I was feeling better, good actually, and I went to a meditation retreat for about 10 days. And in there, I really did a lot of healing. I, you know, like I came out of there feeling shot from guns. I mean, like I was ready. And so that was great. That was very nice. But that wasn't the truth of all of it. So a couple of days after I got home from the retreat, I was in the shower, favorite meditation hall, I think, of many people, me included. And I had this experience. It just shocked me to death. It was, so there I am standing there. And I felt, it felt like a lightning bolt hit me in my right temple, and it went through my head and hit the other side. And there were all these blue and white lights and all this you know, flashy stuff. It was just like when I was, whoa. And I couldn't believe it. And when it was gone, there was a book. It gave me a book, a whole book right there. And I was dazed.
Wow.
And I went downstairs, and I started typing it out. And I gave it to my husband. I said, what do you think of this? And he says, well, it's pretty good, but it's like a comic book. You know, make it longer. So I made 275 pages later, I realized it was a book. And then I realized it wasn't the first book in this. It was a series of books. It was like the third, and then I needed to write the first one. And so that's the one that Leilani and I were talking about earlier this afternoon that's just been released as a galley. And so it's the first of these books, and it's a story about a capitalist, the richest man in the world, meaning a great Native American shaman, and what happens with that. And it's a meeting like that cataclysmic event in my brain when the lightning went through. It's like that. And so I sat down at that time, and I wrote, I've got 8 or 9 books written, depending how you want to cut these.
So let me ask you, I apologize for interjecting here, Sandy. So, so were you able to get into really tapping into that inner voice that we all, you know, that a majority of us like to ignore, pretend like it's not there?
Yeah. It wrote
were you able?
Thing. It just wrote all of the 9 books, you know, and I was like in a meditative state for 9 years. But all the first 2 books take place at a Native American retreat. So when one of my friends told me there's this Native American retreat in Tennessee that you really have to go to, because Bill Miller, who I'm a great fan of, he's some of you may have heard of him. He's a Native American musician. He's a Grammy winner. He's fabulous. He's the spiritual leader of this country. So I got to go to this. So I went back there. I met the woman who's the director of it, and we were like sisters, just like that. One of those clicks, you know, that you have. And like Leilani, I felt that this afternoon talking to you. It was like, boing, my sister.
Well, you know? Really? Thank you.
Yeah, I did. I felt that. Anyway, so Vicki and I are like sisters. I mean, we're very dear friends, but that's how Stepping Off the Edge was born. Is I went to that. I followed the voice. I went to the gathering. I wrote about the gathering, put their website up. It's thegathering.us if anybody wants to look at it. It's gorgeous. Thegathering.us. Anyway, it's a wonderful event, and I was so moved by it. But I kept writing, and I kept writing, and I kept writing, and the result was Stepping Off the Edge. So for most of the time, since 1995, I've been in a meditative state, and I really like it.
Wow. For some reason, we are having some sound difficulties in the PAL Talk room. So while we're working on getting those corrected, they are having a hard time just hearing me, Sandy. So I'm going to have, knowing that, we're going to go ahead and move forward. Just, and I wanted you to help me through this until they get it corrected. But I also, I want to get into more on how you chose to allow yourself to really listen to that inner voice and to work on balancing out your emotions and your mental bodies, because that is so predominant for all of us with all these shifts and cleansings that we're doing, that I'd really like for the listeners to be able to walk away with being empowered with some tools here, if you would.
Sure. Yeah, well, I'll tell you, I do everything. So, which is to say, okay, I just had this really horrible cold that I'm really getting over. I went to my medical doctor, and I did all the medical things that he suggested, and then I have a healer that I go to who is a kahuna healer. And so I had 2 sessions with him. When I began to really trust myself and believe in myself, I have a meditation school that I meditate with, that I'm active with. I had a church that I haven't been so active with recently, but I love. I've been to therapy as needed and out of therapy as needed. I have a mantra that I use. I eat healthily. I give to spiritual causes that I believe in. So it's sort of a massive frontal approach. In terms of activating the voice and getting the voice going, it's already going. You know, it's paying attention to it.
So let me ask you this, Sandy. Why is it that we all seem to choose not to really sit down and listen to that inner voice? I mean, what is the block between, you know, with that? You know, of course, I more and more have learned through my own spiritual journey to listen to the inner voice and the guidance mm-hmm. and all that stuff. And there are times when I ignore it, and I'll say, you know what, I don't want to hear you right now. And then I'll go, why didn't I listen?
Yeah. Well, that's the really big one, isn't it? It's like, when does the voice take over? And I think that the voice takes over. I can't say for other people, but I can say for myself what happened. And finally
right.
It was
exactly.
Things got really bad. And some of the things involved other people, so I'm not going to talk about that. But things got really, really seriously bad. And I had to just finally just reach out and say, you know, this is the way I'm going. That's the way I'm going. Well, I tried a couple of things, you know, and I ended up finding that my meditation school and my meditation teacher, and that worked for me the most. But it was really a crisis. That was that 1993-95 period. And it was, again, another thing. I took every bit of help that I could get from every direction. And I think
I apologize. And that is indeed the key, isn't it, is to really seek the, you know, and there's all different types of, you know, avenues that we can all take to really assist us and getting to the bottom of the core issues within our
yeah.
own selves.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it's like, I think that the psychotherapy, I mean, I have a master's degree in therapy, so marriage, family, and child counseling, but it's the same thing. You know, so I think
yes.
that's invaluable, but I think that if you don't put the spiritual dimension in on it, you miss the juice. You know, you miss the brio, as we say with horses. It's like the spirit, the thing that makes the thing go forward. So it's that you have to use both the mental and the spiritual resources.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's a matter of just hitting that crack where things are bad enough that you're pushed into finally really relying on it. And, you know, people yeah. think that if you solve your problems, you know, it's like if your devils will go away, you know, maybe your angels will go away too. And my experience has been absolutely the opposite. It's like if your devils go away, you get more angels.
I know yeah. what you mean. I want to
yeah.
share with all our listeners this evening, if I may, and Sandy says here, when your inner voice speaks, do we truly listen? Would you like to know with confidence what to do with yourself and your life each day? Wouldn't it be great if, for every decision you've ever agonized over, someone who knew what was best for you was there whispering in your ear? The prize is always behind the door B. What if these things were not only possible for all of us, but some people were actually living that way? What if you could too? And I read that and reread that, and I said, yes. Even the simple questions that I shared earlier with the listeners this evening, as simple as, and I'm, you know, I asked myself, have I really sat down and asked myself, do I really like the way my life is? Do I like the way I'm living? I mean, such simple but profound questions to ask ourselves. Now, one of the things that I'd like to share with our listeners as well this evening is, for all the listeners of bbsradio.com, you can go right on to my show page, and I have a wealth of wonderful information on Sandy. I also am featuring her book there as well. I invite each of you to explore Sandy's website, and that is www.sandynathan, and let me spell it for you. That is S-A-N-D-Y, N as in Nancy, A-T-H-A-N.com. But you've got quite a few other tricks up your sleeve as well, young lady, and we're going to get into that for a moment. But if you will bear with me, I'd like to read two quotes that Sandy has in her books. And one is on page 250, and the other is on 251. And she says here, the reward of being human is being who you're supposed to be. Whatever your beliefs, they need to fit your soul. When your soul is pleased, you will know it. And I know that every one of us can indeed relate to those statements. So, Sandy,
Yep.
Very talented young lady. What other areas of the book, because I've got a whole bunch of bookmarks here that I could just dive into, but I want to make sure that we cover the most important aspects within the book.
Well, let's see. I had some notes. Let me see if I can find. Let me just, this is chapter 2, which is the spiritual path. It's on page 19. And let
yes.
me just read a couple paragraphs of that, because I think it grabs the book, you know. Can you hear
okay.
me now?
Yes,
hear
I
me?
Can hear you.
Okay.
Yes.
So here we are, chapter 2, the spiritual path. Standing at the edge of the precipice with the wind whipping your clothes, you stare into the vastness before you. You have to jump, must jump. Your life won't be right until you do. You're terrified. That's how taking the next growth step feels, isn't it? Stepping into
yes.
oblivion. Stepping
yes.
off the edge of the universe. You've prepared. You've done all the necessary steps to be ready and have your support network waiting. Taking a deep breath, you leap and enter free fall. As you plummet, shirt and pants flapping, a skydiver with no chute, it's good to know that this is how the spiritual path lives. How it looks is another matter. Everyone's path is different. While your specific precipice may have different landmarks, the process is the same. Approaching the edge, wavering, the leap, the fall, being caught as you land. Hopefully, the universe will catch you. Always that doubt until grace comes through. So what I'm talking about is the leap, and I'm talking about grace.
Yes.
Grace is
yes.
what picks you up. So.
Yes. And, you know, it's wonderful, too, because, you know, here you talk about do we know how to control our feelings? And that's a question I would like to dive in a little bit with you, if
mm-hmm.
we may, is,
sure.
you know, because sometimes I get out of balance with my own feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the other day I found myself walking around my own environment, and I was saying, Leilani, knock it off. It's okay. It's, you know, hoping to give myself the permission to feel what I was feeling, but do it in a healthy, balanced way.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
well, I think that, I think feelings are a problem because sometimes they're different than what we think they should be. So we think, okay, we like in my case, okay, I've been doing spiritual practice my whole life. I've been doing it, you know, seriously since 1975, and I still get really mad sometimes. So what am I going to do? You know? Just acknowledge that I'm a human being and I get really mad. You don't have to get really mad at a person, you know.
Right.
The exercise that I've got in the book that is one that I use a lot, and it's I am a big chicken. Like, whenever I do anything new, I'm just terrified. I'm just a big chicken or something. Anyway, so one of my teachers, when I was getting my master's, taught us that if you're facing a situation that you know you're going to have big feelings about, and they could be any sort, just sit yourself down in a chair, you know, in a quiet place, and just, you know, imagine what that place that you're going to go to where you're going to get upset is going to be. The city council chambers, I don't know, whatever it is, the planning department, whatever you're facing, whatever situation, and then just put yourself there and feel those feelings. And the chances are, when you finally get into that situation, that'll take the edge off enough so that you can handle yourself and come across as, you know, being cool. Being right. cool or, you know, well, being appropriate. So is that the sort of thing that you're talking about?
Well, yes, and so the question that arises for me is that, you know, I know for quite some time now, on a spiritual level, we've all been asked to feel our feelings, right? Because a lot of us thought for many eons of time that we've actually knew, that, you know, thought we were feeling feelings. And now that we're starting to open up to feel once again, that's where I find that, you know, we're having a bit of a challenge, and I mean that respectfully when I say that, is once you start learning how to feel the feelings, it's a matter of also learning how to balance feeling the feelings.
Yeah, so they don't just overwhelm you, you know.
Yes, and I had to remind myself that I was in command of my person, I was in command of my own feelings and mm-hmm. my mental thought patterns.
Yes, yeah, that's great. I walk. One of the things I do is I have there's a circle in our ranch. I live on a horse ranch, and there's this big circle that goes around in front of the barns and then down between the pastures and up around. And I walk out there, and that is like really a meditation for me. Now, sometimes some people need to work things out physically. They may need to go out and shovel. We have lots of stuff to shovel around here. And, you know, you may need to go shovel, work in the garden, do something to work it off, you know. A mantra is really good. I use a mantra. I use a traditional Sanskrit mantra, and that is just a lifesaver to me.
Yes.
So if I can't, and if I can't pull myself into balance by myself, you know, I'll go talk to somebody. I'll talk to a friend, or I'll talk to a counselor, or I'll talk to somebody who knows what to do.
Yes.
I think, too, you know, in terms of feeling, I mean, just remembering that it's not wrong to have feelings, and that the deeper we go and the more, you know, spiritually developed we are, the finer those feelings are and the bigger they are, too. So,
yes.
You know, just love yourself as you are.
That's right. let me share this with my listeners as well, and I'd like to repeat the Sandy's website, and that is www.sandynathan.com, or I invite each of you to also explore my show page. You'll find a lot of wealthy information as well on Sandy and her wonderful book. And here, let me just kind of summarize everything for you about this wonderful book. And it's the title, once again, is Stepping Off of the Edge, Learning and Living Spiritual Practice. Oh, no.
Perfect, yeah.
Patience. Practice is a series of fascinating real-life stories about a woman who learned to listen to a voice that for most of her life she feared and distrusted, even though she knew it would serve her to heed it, a voice that provided spiritual as well as practical direction and inspiration, a voice that guided her out of her negative patterns and propelled her to the Gathering, a Native American spiritual retreat. By reading of her adventures, awareness, and awakening, you also gain an insight into what is possible for you and an abundance of simple, fun, practical techniques to enhance your own search for self. And I'm going to hold the book up so you guys once again can see the front of the cover. And once again, that title is Stepping Off of the Edge, Learning and Living Spiritual Practice. We are getting close to the end of our show, Sandy, and there's so much more I would just have loved to really talk with you about. But if you would, for very quickly for us, is to summarize all the other types of work you're doing and a little bit about your artwork. Go ahead.
I guess, you know, the thing is, it's like when I write about fitting into your life, well, I've really lived that because I started off in economics, and that really wasn't me at all. I'm very creative. I'm a writer, and that's what I was meant to be. So I have another book out that Leilani and I talked about a little bit this afternoon, and that's the first book of my novels, Numenon, and you'll be able to find out about that on my website. But I was so excited. It's a national award winner. It isn't even out. It won the religious fiction category in the Indie Excellence Award for 2007. So that was exciting. We live on a horse ranch. We have we have wonderful horses. I learned so much from horses, and I put that in actually all my books. It's like I can't separate myself from my horses. They're so spiritual and beautiful. You can find a link on my website, sandynathan.com, to get into Rancho Vilasa, which is our ranch. So that's, let's see, my kids. I've got my two grandchildren. I painted some cow skulls. That was really cool. My daughters are artists. So I'm really blessed with that in terms of my life. My life is really good, you know, and it wasn't always really good. So I want to tell you that. Your life can be really good if it isn't so hot right now. Just keep moving. That's how you win. You don't quit.
Well, and you know, the thing is that, I celebrate those moments, and I'm a person that I've always been extremely passionate about healing myself, becoming the best person I can possibly be. You know, are there times that I stumble on myself? Sure I do. You know, and I remind myself, and I am more and more learning to remind myself that I'm a human being first, working towards, you know, becoming spiritually evolving constantly to the next level. And, you know, I have spent many years working on myself in many, many areas, and I get frustrated sometimes because I'm going, I have some more. Geez, where did this come from? I thought I was already done with that part. But always. And the most important for me is that I never know what a listener will take away with them that will be the one element that they needed to make an impact in their own lives. And that's all it takes, doesn't it, Sandy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think,
and then it
It's okay. What I would say is just as though it were easy, loving yourself, accepting your frailties, accepting your problems, and just loving yourself anyway, as hard as you can, and everybody else too. There you go.
Well, I was about to ask you for, you know, a statement that you would like to leave with all the listeners this evening, and I do believe you just did a great job.
Yeah, well, if I could say anything more to him, I'd say thank you for letting me talk to you and for listening to me. It was great. That's what all I think authors really want, is for people to listen to them, and I appreciate it very much.
And you do. I mean, and I love authors because they have a wealth of a lot of knowledge and wisdom that they share with all of us. And I'm so blessed to have the opportunity to have the privilege of interviewing a lot of the authors. And I'm just thrilled, you know, and I can remember the first time I was asked to do a book interview. I said, oh no, I don't know how to do that. No, don't have me do it. And now I really love it. It's amazing the information that is really coming forward today. It never ceases to surprise me. But on that note, Sandy, we're done, honey. I'm so sorry, but I just want to...
It was wonderful meeting you. It was just fabulous, and we'll have to chit-chat again.
I would like that very much, and I would like to extend an invitation to you as well, Sandy. Anytime you would like to come and share with our listeners, we definitely would love to have you.
Oh, well, thank you so much. Yeah, yeah. Well, I'll send you a copy of Numenon, and you can read that and see how you think about that and talk some more.
Thank you. Thank you. On that note, I would like to invite all our listeners once again onto my show page. And for all of you in the Pal Talk Room, I have BBS Radio's link up on my Pal Talk Room as well. I hope that you all have found this book inspiring and very informative for your own personal journeys. And please, each of you, please help me to thank Sandy for her wonderful, wonderful sharing with all of us this evening. So on that note, we want to say good evening to you, Sandy. We look forward to having you once again.
Okay.
And
I'll just
we all indeed were born to be free, just as the song that has been written for this show. My dear, dear friend, Christian Anderson, has given me a wonderful permission to play this as my theme song. So listen to the words as BBS Radio shares this wonderful song with all of you. On that note, remember, for I am that I am. We are the power and the intelligence of me, my worlds, and activities. Love yourselves with all your heart, and remember to always love your families. And I bid you all a good night. There.
One day God will show me what I need. Right now, I'm not so sure about myself. Will I ever turn and face myself and learn to fly? I've always heard that mirrors never lie, but that's not true, because I see a man but feel a child. There are some of us who can hear a voice inside, a truthful voice that says, yes, you were born to fly, you were born to fly. We were born fly, we were born to fly, so was I. I ask myself, what will I come to be? I have a choice now, so I guess it's up to me. Maybe I will make a difference in this world. Maybe I will teach another boy or another girl how to fly. Teach them all that they were born to fly. Then we were born to fly. We were born to fly.
Mavic, you have your hand up. You want